Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour. Your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal, best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour. Did you all have a good Thanksgiving? It's Thanksgiving weekend in our timeline, so we're all fresh off of our our turkey dinners.
Our tryptophan comas.
Yes. More or less. And, you know, and I've been reading a lot this week about people are, you know, stop blaming the tryptophan. It's not the tryptophan in the turkey. It's the massive amounts of carbohydrates and sugar that you're eating and all the yams and potatoes and all that other stuff. That's what's making you sleepy.
It's the food, baby. It's,
sheer calories.
Right. Yeah, it's not the turkey's fault. So you can stop hiding behind that one. So we've got a few interesting topics here. There's robots in space and LEDs on your eyeballs and some other stuff like that. We've also got a nice little beer. This one was also donated by one of our listeners.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
And Justin loves saying the name of this
Schlafly. It's another Schlafly. Schlafly, of course, is from St. Louis. And we are drinking Schlafly's Hefeweizen Unfiltered Wheat Ale. And as far as Hefeweizens go, it's
not even bland.
It's nothing to write home about.
They used all their flavor in the pumpkin spice.
They did. The bouquet on this is lovely. Now that it's warmed up a little bit, smell it again.
Hold on, because it smelled like butt before. Nope, still it smells like warmer butt.
But it doesn't have that distinctive taste that you usually have with the Hefeweizen. It doesn't have that. It just tastes like. I described it as if Budweiser made a Hef, this would be it.
It's bubbly water,
right,
with a hint of malt on the nose.
it's got a little bit of a citrus finish to it, but like, I mean, it's kind of disappointing because even after, like, with the Hef, you pour most of it and then swirl it around to get all the good stuff off the bottom, and you pour the rest into the glass, so it's got a nice big head to it because you shook it.
Right.
No lacing whatsoever.
None.
The head dissipated very quickly.
Well, and it's not even really creamy. Like, usually you get some of that yeast, residual yeast from the bottle.
It has an interesting mouthfeel.
Killing me. Just too many targets.
I could have thrown it. That's what she said after every one of those last four sentences. The head diminishes quickly. I shook it and got a big head.
It's true, Schlafly. Yeah. I want to start using Schlafly as an explicative.
Schlafly.
Precisely. It's fantastic. Yeah,
no, that might have to work that into the rotation.
Well done.
But no, so my verdict is I'll pass. I would not have another. There's better halves out there.
I would mix it with the pumpkin. I think a 50-50 split would tone down the pumpkin a little bit and make for a lovely heffa.
Oh, it's a shame we don't have any left.
Right? Pumpkin spice heffa? I would be totally down with that.
We're now beer chemists.
A Schlafly heffakin?
Yeah.
Heffa pump? Pump-a-wizen?
Done. Patented.
Pump-a-wizen. First, we need to figure out how to spell it, then buy the domain.
Oh my god, that's not okay.
So, Jen, do you have a verdict this week? Or are you gonna
Pump-a-wizen? Oh, Schlafly, that's funny. I think the jokes are better than the beer. Yeah. Jer, don't spit that out.
No, alas, you're right.
Oh, goodness. I think I would go with something a little more flavorful since I like flavor and stuff. I'm crying over here. I'm sorry.
All right, well, let's put them up. So I've got some exciting news.
Oh, yeah?
That's some exciting business news. Because I love when corporate conglomerations fail. So The proposed merger between AT&T and T-Mobile is unofficially dead. The Department of Justice came out and said that they were not going to blindly approve it. They were going to, you know, put the onus on AT&T to demonstrate that it wouldn't be antitrust. And AT&T basically said, "We're not even gonna try." We're just going to bow out. And for those who have been paying attention to it, they will know that part of the deal was AT&T agreed that if the deal failed, they would pay T-Mobile $4 billion.
Right.
$4 billion for a failed deal. That's that. I couldn't wrap my head around that. I was like, why? I mean, the merger would be beneficial to both sides, theoretically.
Sure.
So why the it kind of stinks of the guilt. like that's why they did it, is because, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's $3 billion in cash and then $1 billion in spectrum in you know, infrastructure.
Oh, okay.
Waves. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So Deutsche Telekom, T-Mobile, is huge in Europe. And they just never really got a foothold here. They represent, what, single-digit percentage-wise. Yeah,
it's not a lot.
Yeah, but ultimately, their services are good because they're all built on the European standards.
Right.
The GSM.
If you have coverage.
If you have coverage.
Right.
And that has been the issue. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, had they tried to merge, it would have been no issue at all. It would have gone through in a month.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. But yeah, now that, unfortunately, T-Mobile with a single-digit is actually one of the top four.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's just sad in its own right.
Right. So AT&T gobbling them up would not have been a good thing.
Well, no, but I mean, we've already got an oligopoly. So what harm does it do?
Yeah. For 1% to get
gobbled up. AT&T can't get their heads out of their ass long enough to do anything with it anyway, what they've already got.
Right.
So I don't see what the problem is personally.
Well, one of the things that they were going to do when they bought up T-Mobile was convert all of T-Mobile's current cell towers into 4G towers for AT&T's network. That was what they were, one of the things that they were gunning for.
Well, how does that not benefit consumers then?
I don't know.
Like, again, what? T-Mobile's coverage sucks.
Well, T-Mobile's coverage sucks, but if you turn those into 4G.
Yeah.
I mean, AT&T is looking at rolling out 4G until 2013.
Right, because then you're, you know, they're going to, they would switch over to be under AT&T's, you know, coverage, you know, for normal 3G and then augment their 4G. I don't know. It's just the lack of choices, I guess.
I guess. I saw a commercial for Boost. I've started seeing more about, was it Republic?
Yeah, yep. Republic.
Yeah.
Which you can't sign up for.
No, but as...
I want to. I decided after our discussion the couple episodes ago, I was like, no, it's, there's no reason for me not to do it. Because I was, I showed interest before they launched. I got on their newsletter, so I've got a coupon where I get $99 off my sign-up fee, so I can sign up for $100.
Oh, nice!
Versus the normal $200. So, yeah. So I'm going to be all over it once I get in.
But you can't.
I went to sign up, and they're like, "Yeah, we're at max capacity," because right? They're still in beta, more or less.
Right.
Like, yeah, we're at max capacity, so we'll notify you when you can sign up.
That's awesome.
And I guess they also said, you know, even the people who are signing up right now aren't going to get their phones until mid-December or January. There's that much demand, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, the people are getting to speak.
Right.
Very nice. So
I'll be glad. I really hope that they take off.
Yeah.
However, another story kind of has me fearful because, you know, Republic Wireless, it's all over Wi-Fi, but if you go on the network, it's on Sprint's network.
Well, and yeah, speaking of supply, demand, and people with their heads up their ass, Sprint is working out the rumor is that Sprint's working on a $20 billion deal to buy exclusive rights to the iPhone 5.
Which is a terrific idea. It worked so well for AT&T.
Yeah, no, that's the... Personally, I'm really ecstatic about this because I just bought my 4S and I had my 3G for 2.5, 3 years and I am not planning on switching to an iPhone 5 because I'm not a consumer whore as bad as most people are. Some people are. Okay, well, not a lot. Shut up. No, so I'm going to be happy with this phone for a while. So I hope that they buy the exclusive rights to the iPhone 5 because everybody will get the hell off my network.
Right.
Right.
And the exact same thing will happen to Sprint that happened with AT&T.
Right, they can't handle the load. They'll get
completely overloaded.
They'll burst at the seams, and all of their customers will be unhappy.
Yes. Completely unsatisfied.
Inadequate service. We'll leave them wanting.
I've said it before. We used to be an intelligent podcast. I remember those days vaguely.
But however, now the flip side of this is with all of those people jumping ship to Sprint for the new iPhone 5, then AT&T is making less money, so they're going to have less revenue to invest in 4G upgrades overall. So really, your service isn't going to improve altogether that much.
Right.
Well, but never mind. Your phone isn't 4G anyway. It's 3G. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay, so that's fine. Never mind.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm okay with that. Like, I've played with a couple 4G phones where there's 4G coverage. And right. like that commercial. Have you seen this commercial where the dude walks up and he's like, hey, have you heard it's about to rain? And they're like, yeah, that was so 4 seconds ago. And they put their umbrellas up to rain. 4 freaking seconds? Like, really?
No, there's actually a really good Samsung ad I just saw today. We'll link to it in the show notes. Where... there's a line for a new Apple phone, and all these people are sitting outside of an Apple store, and they're just waiting because they can't believe how good this is going to be and what a great user experience. Uh-oh, bad news about the battery. The battery might be a little wonky. And there's this guy standing there by the street, like, hailing a cab with this big phone. They're like, whoa, look at that. And so they're like, can we see it? Can we see it with our hands? And looking at how big the screen is and all of this stuff and that it's 4G. And they're like, wow, who makes this? Samsung? Oh, I could never own a Samsung. I'm a creative. He's like, dude, you're a barista. Shut the hell up. Like, here's a piece of hardware much better than what you're waiting on. It's available now and you don't have to wait outside.
That's funny because Apple's been getting a lot of criticism lately because they're – for a long time they were the creative person's tool. Like, they used an Apple, and they've made a lot of changes to their product to where it's no longer, you know, it's not useful to those kind of people anymore.
No. Well, what was the video editing software that got panned when it came out with a new one? And yet again, they get a response to this backlash by the software, and oh no, you guys just don't have the right workflow.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we just do this for a living. Right, you're absolutely right. We're wrong. Never mind.
You're doing it wrong. No, that's
great answer.
That's what Apple does.
And speaking of completely poor design, Apple. Oh, my God, an Apple. I want an eye bulldog.
An eye bulldog.
An eye bulldog. I just came up with that. I came across this article and it was so freaking absurd. First of all, I don't know. Jer's kind of on the fence, but we're a table full of cat people. Because we're better than everybody else. Yes, or at least the dog people.
I have one of each now.
Yeah, but...
But I'll be working with big dogs at the Humane Society shortly. Go on.
So we've selectively bred animals, obviously, to domesticate them and then to further differentiate different breeds and all that kind of fun stuff. And some of these breeds are freaking... They're just retarded.
I still, to this day, do not understand... The little tiny football size shivering dog trend. Like
With the preface teacup is not okay.
If your dog sits there and shivers the whole time, well, I don't understand. It just looks like a little rat.
It makes you feel needed.
Whatever. My body warmth. This thing literally needs my body warmth to survive. No, I don't get it. But.
Well, and they're definitely like, you know, before we start bashing on dogs, there are definitely some cats that frighten me. Like, oh, Persian, yeah. Persian cats are terrifying. The fact that they're bred to be non-functional. I think the ones that creep me out the most are the Sphinx, or not the Sphinx cats, the hairless ones.
Yeah, those are Sphinx.
Yeah, well, sometimes they use Sphinx for the ones without tail. No, that's Manx. Okay, so Manx. Sphinx cats. They actually tell you in like the animal care sheets and stuff that you should put stuff like towels on your furniture where the cat likes to sit because they leave oil spots.
Oil, right, yeah. Hot. Yeah, no, it's awful.
Not to mention, can you imagine petting that? Like what that would feel like?
It defeats the purpose in my mind. I don't understand.
Ew. Anyway, so dogs are stupid too. The bulldog in particular. Now, see, here's the funny thing. If I had to pick a dog that like I liked, bulldog's probably one of, except for the drool. I can't handle the drool. But they're so freaking ugly. They're cute. Well, then I read this article and I was like, this is stupid. Did you know bulldogs can neither mate nor give birth without human assistance?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the original bulldog?
No, I haven't laid eyes on the very original bulldog. Yeah. See, they're trying.
That's a bulldog.
They're trying to breed them.
Well, back there's, to there's, that.
There is a proposal that we, to eliminate a lot of the health problems, we as humanity should breed them back to be longer, functional, have a freaking snout so they can breathe on their own, mm-hmm. less skin folds, all this other stuff. So now there's like these dog-on-dog people wars about dog people on dog okay. people. There right. we go. So because, you know, selective breeding is anthropomorphologic, whatever that word is.
Uh-huh.
It's their genetics and they did it on their own. We just selectively bred them to get right. desirable traits. Now they're yeah. talking about genetically modifying them to go back to the original, which I think is really funny.
Well, I mean, you got to remember that genetically, the differentiation between a wolf and a our common bulldog is really just a matter of simple
couple gene expressions.
Yeah, since, yeah, yeah, barely anything at all. I mean, they're not even, they're the same species. Mm-hmm. They're just different breeds. Yeah. And we've bred these dogs to do certain jobs. Like the original bulldog was there to run bulls. Like that's where bulls got their rings and their noses. Bulldogs would grab hold of those rings and lead the bulls.
Hmm.
These things were beasts. I mean, they were working dogs. The things we have now are shallow shadows of what they used to be. They're useless. But the same is true, I mean, like a Shih Tzu. Shih Tzu was actually bred as a foot warmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's good at? Being a foot warmer.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, bulldogs are actually closer related to Dobermans, Rottweilers, bull mastiffs.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same family tree. And nowadays, you just can't identify them. There was a great show on Discover, TLC, or whatever, about breeding and what it's done to the different breeds because they've been inbred for so right. long. What I showed you a picture of is actually from 300 years ago.
Wow.
1790s. So not 3 years ago or 300 years ago, but 200 years ago anyway. Hmm. But yeah, I mean, in 200 years, we've completely ruined a breed to make it what people want.
Which is, yeah, just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Exactly.
But see, if I ever owned a dog, like I love pit bulls, I love Rotties and I love Dobermans. I love Irish Wolfhounds mm-hmm. are absolutely amazing dogs.
Sure.
They're large, functional.
Working dogs.
Animals.
But they're even better if they are followed by the word mix.
True, absolutely.
Because then you have genetic diversity built in. That's what's in most of the shelters. Like you can pick up a pit mix,
right?
And actually, when I had to put my cat down 2 weeks ago, I walked outside to kind of breathe through it all, and there was a guy out there with a white dog with black spots, which says to anyone Dalmatian.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at this dog and I went, "That's a pit. I know a pit when I see a pit." And I called him on it. He's like, "No. It's a lab." Dalmatian mix. I'm like, yeah, I could see how somebody would buy that, but no, that's a pit bull mixed with a Dalmatian. And he's mm-hmm. like, you're absolutely right, but most people don't recognize it. So they don't freak out when I tell them it's a lab mix.
Right.
Because if you say it's a pit mix,
yeah.
people freak out.
And people freak out because pits were trained by humans. Certain pits were trained by humans yeah. to be retarded and nasty. And the truth is that any animal will do that.
Yeah.
If raised properly. They just don't have the muscle build and the jaw strength to be as nasty.
Right.
But hey. I could train my cat to be evil.
Sure.
I kind of have. Except to me.
So would you, so do you think they should genetically modify the dogs to be back to their pure state?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this because truth be told, natural selection should just take care of the bulldog. I mean, and I don't mean but to be nasty
not,
about
but,
it.
But it's not natural selection anymore. We have intervened.
Well, I understand that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that if the bulldog were left to its own devices, it would die. Like, it can't. Mm-hmm. The species itself would die out because they can't mate.
Any domesticated dog would.
No.
What were the original bulldogs could mate, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the current ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but I'm not talking about the current ones. I'm saying should they genetically modify to recreate the original one?
It probably wouldn't take much to be perfectly honest. You got to crossbreed it again like you did in the first place. The problem is when you stop crossbreeding it and start breeding it with its siblings to get that breed.
Well, yeah.
And so that isn't ultimately my
So
answer.
You'd have to make a couple of family strains and I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think
sooner or later, yeah, you could get back to it. Yeah. But then you wouldn't be able to call it a bulldog because people think of what we have now as a right. bulldog.
I don't think it's necessary to actually go in.
Neo bulldog.
I don't think it's necessary to actually go in and genetically modify it. But I think that by breeding a bulldog to a larger, longer, functional body dog.
So you're saying they should take what we've got right now and try to selectively breed that back towards
I think that if more... if the dog can't breathe, then you should breed it with a dog with a longer nose.
Right.
Well, I mean, realistically, this from the picture, it looks more like a boxer, like a short boxer. That should be easy enough to come up with. Start breeding boxes so for shortness.
Let's experiment a little more. I just pictured some scientists around a big cauldron. Right. Toss in more dogs. Stir. No. More dogs.
He's never going to stir it himself. There's actually a bald guy stroking a bulldog in his arms going, we'll make you taller. We'll make you faster.
That's where French bulldogs came from.
Yes. Well, that's when he said part deux. I was like, no, that's just the French bulldogs.
And we leave you with dog cauldrons. Yes. Let's take a break on that note. Clearly, we need more beer.
Hi, kids. Justin here, and I just wanted to take a minute to thank you all for listening to the Half Hour Happy Hour. If you've had half as much fun listening to it as we've had making it, well, then we've had twice as much fun making it as you've had listening to it. If you'd like to get more from us, you can check us out on Facebook at the Half Hour Happy Hour. We're also on Twitter at the HHHH. And, of course, the web, www.thehalfhourhappyhour.com. Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
So we're back. And who doesn't love robots?
I love robots.
Everybody loves robots. And if you don't, you're stupid because they're going to, like, rule your face one day.
They already maul your face.
Yeah, they do.
Soon they will rule your face.
I was thinking about that. I'm surprised we didn't make any bear... like bear mauling jokes because it was a teddy bear, but whatever.
Well, it was too busy holding a Kleenex, which really made it difficult.
Tickles your face to get you to roll over.
Yeah.
Snuggle. Good Lord. So back to robots. Yay. So we just launched a robot into space to go to Mars.
Yay.
Yay. That just happened. November 25th. It's the day after Thanksgiving. It went up okay. Nothing...
remarkable.
That we know about went wrong. So this Curiosity rover is scheduled to land on Mars in August of 2012, which is surprisingly fast.
Yeah.
So of course I watched the launch. It was pretty neat. And then I started looking at pictures of what the actual Curiosity rover looks like because I never really paid attention. And it's neat. It comes in like different parts. It's got a descent stage and a cruise stage and an aeroshell and all that kind of fun stuff. And it's got it looks like six wheels on this crazy chassis looking thing that's designed to go over crazy Mars terrain, like, and wires going everywhere and these crazy turrets with all the scientific gadget on it. Like I found this website and it literally has like a ton of pictures. It's awesome. And it's actually in the clean room at the Jet Propulsion Lab. So it's really close up pictures of, you know, the suspension and the cameras on the turrets and the rocket propulsion and all that kind of fun stuff. So definitely go check that out because robots are awesome.
I'm going to be really interested to see how this mission goes because, you know, I mentioned before I was a huge fan of the, you know, the two rovers that they've got out there now, Spirit and Opportunity, because they went, you know, they went for so many years afterwards. So it'll be interesting to see if this thing can do anything close to that. I personally don't think so because this seems like a much, it's a much more sophisticated piece of hardware. I mean, those were little rovers, and this is it's literally a mobile science platform. And absolutely. Like you said, it's got six wheels on articulating. Yeah. It's got a lot more things that can break. So.
Gotcha.
Well, one of the coolest things.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
It actually has, it has jet propulsion tanks and all this other cool stuff to help it move and all that fun stuff. But the turrets I think are my favorite part. It has these huge antennas, obviously, so it can broadcast information back to us, but it has a laser that can do, from what I understand, the laser on top of this turret can do composition, like, of stuff that it hits.
Like, detect the composition
of
stuff? Yeah.
Like,
really?
I just think that's really neat. Like, it can actually pull apart, like, the chemical composition of, you know, a little laser point.
Yeah, it's going to be doing a lot of soil samples and things like that, yeah. It's really not, I mean, I know they put stuff on there to look for signs of life. They're not really... I don't expect them to find any if they were going to find them on Mars, they would be underground, and this thing doesn't look like it's geared for going underground. And also, Mars is, if we were looking for signs of life in the solar system, Mars is not the place to do it.
Europa
is is all the scientists agree that that's where it's at. It's because it's basically a frozen core, and then, you know, salt water.
Yeah.
Fluid salt water below it. So it's, you know, it's pretty much a no-brainer. I don't know.
Well, until somebody Mars gives me a definition of life that I agree with, then.
And that's what it's going to be. You know, we're looking for signs of life. We're going to find, you know, bacteria and things, single-celled organisms. It's not going to be aliens swimming around in the water.
Well, and I would be fine with that. Like, a bacteria would be cool.
Right.
Just to show it's perfectly possible.
Yeah.
But and that's in our solar system. Now, you bust out of the solar system, then you got some really cool options happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Europa, I don't expect to see. I would be thrilled with a bacteria. I don't
expect to see anything wildly different.
No, I would be absolutely.
You guys are crazy. That's where Loch Ness Monster went home to.
I would be beside myself with a multicellular organism.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not talking anything crazy. Right. Just like more than one cell.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty amazing, but it would do little more than say it's possible.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm
expecting. This is my favorite picture, and it looks like, wait, it won't rotate. It looks like Johnny Five is steering.
Yeah, he does have a little Johnny Five.
That's the turret. It has four cameras on it. Two of them are actually backup in case something happens to the other two. But yeah, it totally looks like Johnny Five is on top of the spider monster driving it around.
That's sweet.
The final words of the launch. Johnny Five's alive. Mute him. Mute the mic.
See, what we don't know is they're really rebooting it, shooting another movie, and this is all a publicity stunt for that.
Well, I'd go see it.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah. I thought you knew. No. Okay, yes. They're actually rebooting that. Sorry. Okay. Don't kill the messenger.
I shouldn't be surprised, but
yeah.
No, that's unfortunate. So,
Ally Sheedy had nothing better to do. And Jeff, what's his name?
I don't remember who's in that movie.
Gutenberg.
Oh, Jesus H. Christ, you're not kidding. It's supposed to come out in 2013.
I don't make stuff up.
Yeah. I was really hoping this time.
No, no. I heard about it and I went, oh my God. Okay, file that under shit that shouldn't happen.
Right.
The first movie was bad. But it was campy.
Yeah. Right,
okay. So by all means, reboot it.
But it was what, the 80s? So
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't expect much.
God, that had to be 86.
Yeah. So from the topic of robots and big technology, we've got a fairly exciting story on smaller technology.
Also speaking of movies from the late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. engineers have created a wearable contact lens that has a single LED that can be illuminated from a wireless signal, powered and activated by a wireless signal.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Indeed.
It's only a single LED right now, which is, you know, obviously not enough to display any information other than Morse code.
Right.
But basically they got through the testing stage right now. They tested it on bunny rabbits, like you do. But they were basically doing the safety test. They proved that wearing it does not cause abrasions to the eye, and the LED does not burn your retina. Which are, you know,
important factors, correct?
Things you want.
Well, and actually, I was reading an article that said that the rabbit was unavailable for comment on those matters.
that's a worrying notion.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, they're trying to create the Terminator vision,
right? Yeah,
with a contact
heads up display.
With awesome.
Contact. Yeah, beautiful.
Cool as hell.
Right,
but. Yeah, one LED.
One LED. Do it. Right, exactly.
Not to mention, if you can activate it wirelessly, if you're wearing this bad boy, does all of a sudden like the entire field of vision go completely white and you're blinded temporarily? Well,
possibly, yes. I mean, you'd have to have some kind of secure network for it. But
when I was reading, they originally started it in red because that was the color that Terminator had. So they figured that was a great place to start. And they turned it blue.
And it's also the least offensive light.
No, green is. That's why night vision's in green.
Yeah.
I thought red
was... Red's at the high end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
What's the explanation behind dark rooms then? There's a specific reason that they use... Because your eyes can adjust.
Your eyes can adjust to red and without detrimental effect. But really, red is used because it doesn't affect the silver bromide in paper. Okay.
Just kidding.
Like, because if you're developing color, you can't be in any light at all. It's literally just how the silver bromide's laid out on the paper.
All right, whatever.
Yeah. But no, so they switched to blue, and they couldn't get the blue to focus, so they had to start using these crystalline forms in order to focus the light.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Frenzel lensing on a contact lens. Right. Brilliant.
But so they've got it now to where they can focus that light at a position to where your eye can basically determine what it is. And
really, the scalability is going to be based on LEDs.
Right, yeah.
How
small they can make them, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty cool, I think, when they...
It could be.
Yeah.
This might be a question like a year from now or can versus should.
Can versus should, yeah. Well, it's going to, I mean, having that kind of ubiquitous access to information could revolutionize, you know, there's so many paradigms that are developing right now of this access to information. So that is just the
antithesis of humans no longer needing their brain.
No, not at all. It frees up your brain from, you know, you no longer have to worry about this clumsy little, well, I guess it wouldn't really replace an input device, but right. It's going to make the access to the easier access to information, the less energy you have to waste accessing that information. And the more you can devote towards consuming the information.
Well, the first heads-up displays were actually put on fighter planes. And so it allowed the pilot to stop worrying about aiming the plane at a target versus, unless you want to go to guns, but your missile lock is based on this thing. So you've got a clear display so you can see everything beyond it. But in front of you, you're actually seeing real-time computer calculations doing the work. But now it's in Cadillacs, where you're driving at night and it will pop up a UV display of everything in front of you. So even though you can't see around the corner, you can see if there's a deer in the road well past your high beams.
Right. It's just augmenting the information you have access to.
Absolutely. And I think in that regard, it's kind of cool. But at the same time, you kind of got to wonder, how bad can this go?
Yeah, I mean.
Less bad than you know, animal husbandry for dogs, but better than.
Yeah, it's, you know. It does have the potential to, you can get your entire, you know, you can get an entire simulated reality, you know, at least visually through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but you could, in theory, in the future, you'd be able to walk up to somebody, shake their hand, and your eye would give you every status update they ever did in Facebook. Uh-huh. You could know all of their likes and dislikes, what they're interested in, find common ground in the first second that you meet them.
Oh, and that's, you know, I don't
so
think
so these amazing contact lenses are going to be good for dating?
Networking.
And yeah. I don't think that's necessarily a bad
acquiring a target.
I don't think that concept is necessarily a bad thing. You know, the putting it in the terms of Facebook, where it's, you know, you can see everything this person's ever done is bad. But there's, you know, but that kind of aspect could be good, that kind of social network. One of the books that I've brought up before, Damon, TM, and Freedom, is, you know, it's built around that, where all the people on this underground network have these glasses that give them a heads up display. Mm-hmm. And when they see a person, they're basically seeing an avatar, like they see their name above their head. But they also have a social rating. So everybody, you know, you can rate another person, their social interaction. And it's
douchebag.
But it's basically boiled down to stars. So you can just look at a person, how many stars out of five do they have, and get a general idea of how do people, you know, is this guy a douchebag or is he, you know, generally a good person? So that kind of thing, you know,
it's interesting.
So creating that social network, that gamification of the input, the information that we get access to.
Standardized tests out the window.
Yeah.
Cheating takes on a whole new level at that point. Yeah.
You'd have to revolutionize that whole system.
Which would be a good thing anyway, but still. Mm. I mean, if you're going to use technology.
I think it's terrifying. I think the access to information being made easier makes humans stupider. And it's been proven that, like, we don't know as much as we used to.
Because we don't need to.
Mr. Zombie Apocalypse. No, what happens when the structure collapses? We as humans are going to be fucking retard.
But you can say that about pretty much any human system at this point. Agriculture, if there's a, you know, a worldwide famine and agriculture fails, which is one of the fundamental building blocks of human society, then everything's going to fall apart. So there's we're at the point right now where we've got so many systems that adding another one is, you know, a drop in the bucket at this point.
But you're not just adding another one. It's the one ring to rule them all syndrome, where something else has to top everything. The problem is like, as and we start putting contacts with information in our eyeballs and we don't use books anymore, that when something happens to the system, which it happens regularly, and we're not talking about like farming equipment breaks, we're talking about the very top of the system, it has a trickle down effect to everything. It shouldn't. We should have like those certain baselines and a certain level of human knowledge and lack of automation to allow us to continue to exist.
And that's already an issue with people wanting to preserve books. It is. Yeah. I mean, I'm serious.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
And film and things like that, where we've already got it on a digital medium, but we need to preserve the physical, the hard copy of it. Well, and that I think that will always be valid and important, but the two are not mutually exclusive.
No, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I'm just at the most base level, okay? Like many, many years ago when digital photography came out, if you wanted to preserve a memory for forever, you digitized it and you kept it. Me now, personally, I do the exact opposite. If I want to have it for forever, I print an actual physical copy. It's the same thing with information in general. Like, we're getting to the point where, first and foremost, if there's a collapse in any number of systems, we could lose a ton of information that us as humans have taken us 2,000 years to evolve and arrive at. In addition to that, we as humans are becoming stupider. So now that we're creating...
That's not true.
It is true. Like, your brain, the way it develops... Weren't
we talking about the average IQ is on the rise right now?
The ability to multitask and IQ being the capacity for intelligence is on the rise. However, humans, as they learn, create neural connections. It's the regular use of those neural connections that help them stay connected. Mm-hmm. And of course, kids develop them very, very quickly, and adults slowly start to stave off. Obviously, part of that is, you know, your gray matter starts to age and that happens. But I think a lot of it is we as adults are like, okay, I've learned what I need to learn, and I don't need to learn much more because everything that I need, I can find somewhere else. Like, we actually... There's an article.
You're still learning it, though.
But you're not. You are not. You're intaking it, and you're going, okay, this is processing, and then you throw it out the back of your skull because you know you can access that information again.
Actually, what they've shown in tests is that we're learning how to find information faster. No, but if you remove the system where you look for the information, then you don't have the retention at all.
Right.
And that's where it goes. And I'm the biggest advocate of technology there is so long as it's, you know, should we versus, you know, can we. But ultimately, at the same time, I spend a lot of my time doing stuff manually in order to have the skill set should I not have access to the information.
Right. And I think if it's something that you're going to be doing on a regular basis, you're still going to gain that retention. But if it's something that you're only doing occasionally, then it's okay.
What is something more important that you need to be able to do on a regular basis other than social interaction? That is what society is based off of. And you literally, like, I know it's a book and I know it's a concept, but if this is the evolution, if you literally boil down social interaction to a 5-star rating, that's not bullshit. Boiling
it down. That's just giving you extra information at a glance.
It's not. It is. But it's boiling down everybody's opinion into a simple rating system so that you can look at somebody. I could talk to Jer one day and be like, he's the coolest dude ever. 5 stars. Woohoo. And I could be in a bad mood the next day and be like, that guy's a douchebag. It creates such a monopolized view, and it is very boiled down. It's tunnel vision. It's creating. And to me, human interaction is one of the most important skill sets that we could ever learn as humans. So if you start losing your ability to actively listen, not just to what people are saying, but to intake body language and all, I mean, and if you have something processing it for you, you will lose that skill. Your human brain, if it's being fed that skill, your human brain will no longer intake that information.
I disagree.
Off the top of your mind, how many phone numbers do you know?
None. Mine.
Mine. Right. When I was a kid, when I was 10, let's say.
You memorize people's numbers.
Like, I probably had 30 of them at the drop of a hat.
But, much but, more.
And fun. Now I have more room in my brain for more important
that's
things than people's
true.
Phone numbers.
Well,
that's
but,
not true.
Well, no, it's not that it's not true. The issue happens when I had to change one phone and I had to go 24 hours without a cell phone. 24 hours without a cell phone sounds like no problem at all, unless you're driving and your car dies. You're driving along, your car stops running, you pull off into a parking lot, and you can't call anybody.
Which you couldn't have done before there were cell phones anyway. So it's
you could walk to the gas station.
Well, no.
Yeah, you could do that anyway.
Before cell phones, I had 30 phone numbers I could call off the top of my head.
So you get to the gas station, you actually have 35 cents in your car, and then you stare at the keypad going, oh, shit. I can call my own cell phone.
So you do what they did before they had telephones.
All right, but you're missing the point.
Well, those were phone books, which you can't find anymore. Those were pay phones, which I defy you to find now. Yeah, you can find a pay phone. But you could borrow somebody's cell phone.
Right.
But then you'd have to be able to dial a number.
You could call a taxi service, if nothing else.
To take me home.
I'm just saying there's always options.
There's always options. You're absolutely right. But there are certain things we are losing.
Yeah, but we're
to gain something
so
else.
So tell me that as you pushed other people's phone numbers out. I mean, first of all, I don't believe for one second that by memorizing a whole bunch of phone numbers, I am losing space for other things. I am creating more neural connections, which makes me smarter. It makes me more capable to process more information faster.
I know four numbers, by the way.
I know a shit ton.
I know four.
I can still tell you the phone number of the house I lived in when I was 4 years old because my mom drilled it into my head so many times as a little kid. What's your address? What's your phone number? So in case I got lost in a department store. And it's that repetition that number will always be there.
I'm pretty sure
I'll have Alzheimer's and I'll be reciting that number back and forth to myself. Like I have, when I read something that's important to me, I read it twice and I go back and highlight it. That third time, and you can say that's repetition and it's stupid because I can go back and if I can remember a couple key words, I can Google it. But the repetition, the neural connections, I mean, we as humans only use a small percentage of our brain. You're not telling me that you're filling it up with stuff and then stuff starts falling out the other side.
I'm not. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. Listen, we're already at the point where, you know, society has always been standing on the shoulders of giants. And things have gotten more and more complex. We at some point crossed a position where not everybody has the knowledge to perform every task. Things have become specialized to the point where not everybody can do it. We're already past that point of no return, basically, where if there was some cataclysm, we would lose the society we have right now.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen. We're at the point where that's going to happen. If there's some crisis, that's going to happen no matter what. So our options now are either keep progressing or fight the progress, which is going to happen no matter what, and put ourselves in a worse position.
I'm not saying I believe in forward progress. I believe in the momentum and I love technology. But at the same time, I'm still going to spend time to read a book. I'm still going to know my mom and my dad and my sister's cell phone numbers. Like, I'm still going to commit that mental energy to learn those things. And as new information comes in, I'm going to try to take it in different ways. Because the more different ways that you access the same information, the more likely you are to remember.
That's true.
And it builds stronger, thicker neural connections.
Well, see, like next year, I've already decided that there are some things I do not know that I think are valuable. But they're not forward thinking. They're backward thinking. I want to learn to hunt and how to clean game.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason than I think it's knowledge that couldn't hurt me to know.
And could be useful.
And could be useful given some god-awful catastrophe.
Right.
I want to learn to legally ride a motorcycle. And I want to, if money allows, I want to learn to get my pilot's license. Now the first two things are archaic. And the second two things are brand new and fairly forward-thinking, or at least current thinking.
Right.
And that's where my thing is I'm not going to stop learning. You stop learning, you die.
Right.
Period. Now, there are stuff that have gone by the wayside. There's stuff that I have yet to learn and really desire to. But ultimately, what you're left with is there's a bunch of knowledge that anyone can gain. And you just have to pick and choose what it's going to be.
And it doesn't even have to be relevant.
No, but these contact lenses are good if somebody chooses to have that narrow of field of vision.
So I've got a beautiful example for you. The real use for this is about augmenting information. You've been doing a lot of knitting. Whenever you want to learn something new, you've got to take the time to go and find a video, to find a tutorial. Imagine if you could be knitting and you could have a pair of ghost hands overlaid over your vision to show you the proper way to do it. Much easier way to, you're the one learning, you're going to be doing it, but you're going to have a much easier method of learning it.
It's like the dance thing on the Kinect.
Yeah.
Where when you do something wrong, something turns red.
Right, yeah.
No, and I'm not saying...
It's not about replacing your means of learning. It's about augmenting your means of learning.
But the truth, my concern is, like, yes, that would be brilliant. And on your note of learning to hunt game, I've taught myself to garden and to...
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Those are the two skills that I've taught myself like this year. Like
throwback skills, if you really mm-hmm. want to get down to it.
And I'm still very technologically literate, and I'm still... And my job requires me to be very up on science and technology and all that kind of fun stuff. So I'm constantly...
We're not like neo-Luddites. We're...
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean... In all honesty, I taught myself to knit to slow my brain down because a lot of the times it's like there's so much going on that it's just focus. It helps me just calm the hell down a little bit. Yes, it would be easier for me to be able to, you know, have some hands overlaid so I don't have to stop and do the video and watch them and rewind it and everything else. However, as we have bitched about many, many times, new technology is often not employed in the best possible way. So when you're saying like a heads up display and the first thing that came out of Jer's mouth, God love you, is freaking Facebook updates. Right. Like, I mean, this is what I'm saying is that we've had this conversation many, many times is that technology is a great and beautiful thing and it can be used to do amazing things and to augment and make us better people. But the truth of the matter is most of the time technology is just used to make shit easier.
Yeah, right. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, but it's not necessarily a good thing either.
But and there's going to be a lot of crap, but then there's going to be the one person who figures out the right way to do it. And I think I love Microsoft's Kinect because I think it's a shining example of this is all the game makers made their motion control technology, but Microsoft hit on the golden idea because their technology now has opened up this possibility of interface with your technology. And it's one of those things where, you know, it was done a different way and, you know, for good or bad, but it takes one person to get it right. And it's going to push all the other crap to the wayside.
Absolutely. But beyond that, they then went open source with it and said, we want you to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to
fund like 10 startups or whatever is I think a beautiful. And so we bash on Facebook as Facebook, you know, things are going to become like Facebook, whatever. I think we only say that because the thing that is in Facebook's category that does it right hasn't come along yet. We're still in that pre.
I'm not saying that even that Facebook network is a bad thing. I'm saying that, like, again, Facebook boils down a lot of social interaction. And I've made the case that I enjoy Facebook for the getting to interact with people that I wouldn't normally get to interact because of distance, time, whatever.
But there's ways to do that without reading their inane status.
Right. And that was a silly example. But my point is that if I only used Facebook, or even if something better than Facebook came along, if I only ever used that and I never interacted with human beings, I would forget how to interact with human beings.
Yeah.
That is my point. Yes, it's very important.
Punk's going, yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm going to direct my attention to the other human in the room,
the anthropologist.
I think technology is good. I think having the access to information is better. But the point is, I
think you're coming at it from we're already at that point. The thing that you're afraid of, we're already there.
So just throw up your hands and give up.
Don't give up, but don't fight it so hard.
I'm not fighting it.
Join Google Plus.
I am not. No, listen to me. Don't let the terrorists win. I am not fighting it. I am not actively saying, like, I refuse.
Yeah,
if they have this contact that I can put in my eyes and, like, without abrasion or turning into a rabbit or whatever,
right.
Yes, word, I will use it. So at the same time, I'm going to take cautious. That contact out and I'm going to read a freaking book every once in a while.
Well, and ultimately, that's where I land. And that's why I haven't had a whole lot to say is I don't like putting stuff in my eyes. And so ultimately, I'm going to have to raise my game. and that's where it comes down to is I need to make sure I've got a lifestyle and the intellect enough to know how to make that lifestyle happen.
Right.
But beyond that, I ain't putting shit in my eyes. I don't care if it's just a little blue light. I just don't need it.
Yeah, I've never had to wear contacts either. So yeah.
No, I wear glasses, and I choose not to wear contacts. I could get them for free. I mean, I got insurance and all that jazz. But no. I don't even like drops. And you want me to put something that lights up? No.
I love how we have our good ethical and moral debates, and Jerry's just like, I just don't like what shit in my eyes.
And I wear contacts, and I'm...
When in doubt, pragmatist.
Yeah, right. Now that's beautiful.
And if everybody else is going to wear them, that's fine, but right. I'll raise my level of game, and I'll do it without the contact, mm-hmm. or I'll figure something else out.
Yeah.
It'd be heads up on my glasses?
Glasses, yeah.
Imagine what you could project on glasses.
Same difference, more or less.
Yeah.
Mad shout outs to Transmetropolitan, Warren Ellis, you rock my world. It's a comic book. He has a heads up display in his glasses and it takes pictures and does notes and oh yeah.
Oh, see, I can be down with that.
Yeah.
Google Spider Jerusalem. You'll be happy you did.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned them in one of the past episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In the best books ever episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's exactly where it was. Right on.
Anyway, so yeah, technology is awesome. Use it, make your mind better, learn stuff, but don't let your brain atrophy in your skull just because you can access the information outside your world.
And you can find us at facebook.com/thehalfhour happy hour, Twitter at @thehhhh, and the URL.
thehalfhourhappyhour.com.
Thank you, sir.
So we've got some pretty exciting news. We're actually going to take a bit of a hiatus next week. So we will not be posting a new episode next Thursday. Try not to cry. But if you do, post your sad face pictures on our Facebook. Ha, ha, ha. We've got a big surprise coming up for you. We'll be back, and we've got an awesome show in the works. More details to come on Facebook, giant face poem.
and Twitter. I know you don't like it, but still.
No, some people do. Yes. Some people dig the twit action.
Hey, Jameson's just follow us on Twitter. How are we doing on Facebook? Ooh, that's what I thought. Okay, moving right along.
You got twatted. I just...
Oh, there's a sound effect that goes with that in my head that it's not okay.
Is it kind of a suction cup sound?
No, it's kind of like a wet meat being thrown at a wall sound.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that.
And on the wet meat note, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.